and welcome to episode one of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, Amy, and Andy. For our first episode, we'd like to talk about what travel means to us and generally introduce you to us so that you know who you're hearing over the next few weeks. Let's get started. Okay, guys. So when we talk about travel, one of the first things that we think of is that trip that sort of started it all for us. So, Andy, do you remember what your first memory of travel is? What gave you the bug?
Oh, I certainly do. I was 8 years old, growing up in Northern England. Rolling green hills, the countryside was pretty spectacular. But Mum came home one day from work and said that we were going very soon on a 5-day trip to the continent of Europe. We were going to go to Paris, Brussels, and Amsterdam. And I was so excited. And it was a great trip just to see all these iconic landmarks, the Eiffel Tower in Paris, the Arc de Triomphe, just sitting in a sidewalk cafe, going to see the Mannequin Piece and the Grand Place in Brussels, and just walking around Amsterdam, seeing all this beautiful architecture, the canals. And at 8 years old, the thing that really sticks in my mind, which probably speaks volumes about me, is being taken around the red light district. It really made an impact on me. It's not just
I imagine that, it did.
I'm joking on that. I mean, obviously, it left quite an indelible imprint. But I was bitten by the travel bug from that moment on. It sort of opened my mind to things that were beyond my own front yard. And just that there was a whole world out there. People speaking different languages, different architecture, different culture, different food. And it really was an eye-opening experience. And I've just wanted more and more of it ever since.
So, Sandy, do you remember when the bug bit you?
My first memory of travel was a camping trip that we did when I was about 4 years old. We went somewhere every year, and this particular year we went to Maine. And I remember it well because that was the first time I jumped off a diving board, swam in the deep water. They had a really cool dog at the campground that was a St. Bernard, and he was very cuddly and sweet, and his name was Joker. And I remember going when we drove through New Hampshire, seeing the Man in the Mountain, which was a rock formation that fell not too long ago, like a few years ago. And I kept looking for a real man, and I thought everybody was crazy because they were trying to show me this man in the mountain, and I couldn't see it. But yeah, I mean, lots of camping trips, but that one, and then I realized years later I'd been to Acadia National Park, which is one I can check off my list.
So, Amy, what was your favorite trip as a youngster or when you first started traveling?
Well, favorite. You know, I grew up with traveling. My mother traveled across the country, U.S. and Europe, being a professor, and I got to tote along. Being an only child, I was really lucky to be able to do that with her. So I can't say I remember any specific trip. I remember just growing up and travel was just part of our life. And even if it was just a night in a hotel here or there, I loved staying in hotels. So my friends call me a hotel snob. Now that's probably where that all started. The hotel always had to have a pool for me to be excited. I remember that. But I, you know, I've been all over the place with my mom. But I still sort of stick to, I don't know. I don't know why I always come back to the relaxing Caribbean, just laying around on the beach type vacations. I don't know where that came from. We did a little bit of that, but those are my memories growing up.
Nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing like relaxing for sure. So Lindsay, do you remember what it was for you?
When I was younger, I grew up in the Midwest, and we really didn't take family vacations, but we went to Disney World when I was 10. And ironically, as much as I love to go now, I hated it. It was awful. It was December. It was Christmas Day. There were too many people in the park. All I wanted to do was ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And my dad was like, no, I'm not standing in line. So all I remember from that trip is crying. And I remember the Country Bear Jamboree Christmas special and the submarine, and that was it, all day, like three rides. And my mom was really pregnant, so she couldn't take me on anything. It was just awful. But now it's so funny because, like, you can't keep me out of the parks.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because one of my early memories of Disney World, we went in 1977, and my father was a scientist, and he wasn't really much into thrill rides or things like that, but he really liked technology, and so he and my uncle went on Space Mountain, and I was too young to go, and I don't think he would have allowed me to go on it anyway. And of course, that's all I remember, is that my father and my uncle, these brave big men in my life, were scared to death on Space Mountain. They came off shaking. My father nearly lost his glasses, and they couldn't stop talking about how terrifying it was and how they should have never done it. And of course, I could not wait to come back on my own when I was tall enough and do it myself. So yeah, it's always the forbidden treasures on those trips that get to you. So why do you think travel is so important to families and to people as they get older? Sandy, what do you think about family travel?
Well, our family does a lot of travel together. I have a huge family and lots of cousins, and we do family reunions at the beach. We just did Yosemite last summer. It's something about getting people together and keeping those connections. When I was growing up, I never saw my California cousins. And, I think I saw them three times before I was old enough to actually go visit them myself. And so it's really important to me to have that bond for my kids and for them to see their cousins all over the place. So we do a lot of that. And for me, another thing that I like is the planning. So whenever I get done with a trip, I have to have another trip on the books. Yeah, that's for me. Yeah.
There's actually been research done that shows, and I wish I could, reel off a quote of where it was, but that shows that the benefit that you get from a vacation, you get more benefit from the anticipation of the vacation than you do from the vacation itself. So lying on the beach isn't really the most recharging and good for you activity in the vacation. It's actually the build up to it and the anticipation, which I think is really clear when you're leaving your vacation and going, oh man, it's like it's all over.
I think it's definitely a break from the quotidian, the everyday, particularly if you're going somewhere a little bit more exotic than, West Columbia, South Carolina, which isn't too hard. But I think travel is also important because traveling as a family, you see a different side of your family or your traveling companions when you travel. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But everybody has a different experience from seeing the same thing. I mean, you can stand in front of a 900-year-old Gothic cathedral and be absolutely wowed by it, while my 4-year-old daughter says, it's just a big church. Yeah, but everybody has that different reaction to it, whether it's at Disney World and seeing my 4-year-old daughter, my then 3-year-old daughter's eyes when Merida walked out, and seeing that through her eyes gave me immense joy. And so I think family travel is very important. I mean, people say, oh, don't live vicariously through your kids, but I think you can to an extent when you travel, and you should to an extent when you travel. Everybody gets something different out of it. Everybody should get something enjoyable out of it. And it broadens the mind and just makes you think a little bit more about your place on planet Earth.
I think, the first time I went to Europe, I was 13. And one of my clearest memories of that is so 13-year-old girl of me. But we were on an escorted tour through, 14 cities in 12 days in Italy.
Sounds familiar.
And yeah, very, very quick trip. And I remember we were in Rome, and it was the first city that we were in. And we had about 2 days there. And my mother went on and on about how we were going to the Roman Forum that day. And she could not wait to see the Roman Forum. And it was this great place. And I literally had my little Walkman, and I dragged myself off the bus. I didn't even want to get off the bus. I was rolling my eyes. And I go out and I look, and I thought, it's a bunch of rocks. I'm looking at a bunch of rocks. Why am I here? But even then, I think that is actually burned into my memory as a quote waste of time. And now that I'm an adult, I was like, what was I thinking? It sort of gave me a real realization that not everything in this world is like the Roman Colosseum, which when we went to see that, it was like, oh, there's the Colosseum. And yes, it's in ruins, but you can still see what it is. And you start figuring out that, you know, that what you're looking at isn't always what you think you're going to see, and looking at things differently. And then to take somebody else to Europe when, you know, when I was older, I actually went on a girlfriend trip, and seeing Europe through her eyes, she had never been there before. It's not the same as a child, but it's sort of that same realization. Mm-hmm. You get to discover a place anew with someone else. So while we're talking about the importance of traveling and going places, where are your dream trips? Where are the places that you haven't gone yet? Amy, what's your next big thing? Where is it that you really want to go?
Well, it's not Hawaii again.
Was that not good?
One trip from the East Coast to Hawaii, which is beautiful. What do I have planned? You know, I don't know. There's a couple Caribbean islands I would like to still see. I'm all about the Caribbean. I don't know why my travels always take me back to those spots. I like to explore. I'd love to go to Europe, but I don't know. I think that right now, today you're asking me this, and I'm saying to you, I'd like to see a new Caribbean island. I don't know which one.
So what Caribbean islands have you not seen yet? Haven't you seen them all?
You know what? I want to go to Grenada. I have not been there yet.
New sandals in Grenada.
I was going to say, and that new sandals is in Grenada.
It's calling. It's calling.
I hear it.
So, Lindsay, what's the next big thing for you? What are you dreaming of for your big trip?
It would be another island in the Caribbean as well. Grenada, the sandals, I would love to see that. I would love to go to Barbados. I've been waiting for them to open the Barbados one. Would love to go... Other than that, maybe to Norway.
Well, that's a big difference.
Big jump.
Yes.
That's a pack differently.
Yes.
Yeah, Sandy.
Unlike my last travels, they would not be connecting.
Sandy, what's up for you? What's the next big thing for you?
The next big thing is taking the family on a Disney cruise in November. So very excited for that. But 2 years out, we're starting to look at our 20th wedding anniversary, and my husband has always wanted to go to Greece and see the sights there. So I think we're going to do that. I think we're going to maybe throw in some Italy for me and some Greece for him. So we just haven't decided if it's going to be just us or the kids, because, you know, the kids will be a really good age to see all that too. And although they might just say it's a pile of rocks.
Greece is really beautiful, and I do think, I mean, it's one place. Greece and Italy are two places where kids hear a lot about them in school. You know, that ancient history, it's a really good way for them to connect to it.
So it's a really old pile of rocks.
Yeah,
Sandy, my 20th wedding anniversary is in 2 years also, and I could sort of move my love of the Caribbean islands into like the Greek islands or something, and I could go with you.
That would be awesome.
Make that sacrifice, would you?
Who would plan that?
I know. Somebody should plan something. That would be cool. The kids would all have friends their same age to play with. There you go.
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry.
Well, guys, I know a really good travel agent or two. So, so Andy, what's next on your docket?
We got a short 3-day cruise coming up in August, right before school starts back. The kids have never been on a cruise yet, so I just want to see, open their eyes to that a little bit. Just a short hop to the Bahamas, somewhere I've actually never been. And I'm also toying with the idea, I mean, New Zealand is calling me right now, off in the distance. It's probably the fact that I've been made to watch the most recent Hobbit movie about 16 times. But it's just so lush and green. And while I grew up with that sort of landscape, it's just so, you know, spectacular and completely different in the topography. Plus, they have some really mean craft beer brews down in New Zealand, and I would really like to go and sample some of those. But New Zealand, maybe in the next 2 or 3 years. I've heard people talk about it, and I've seen a lot of pictures recently, and it's really looks somewhere that I could be quite at home. So that's really what I'm really leaning towards in the next year or two, maybe three.
Yeah, I think for us, it's Scotland. We've really always wanted to tour Scotland. I've been to Edinburgh, but we haven't really been up into Scotland. And along with the craft brewing theme that you were just talking about, Scotland is sort of known for other alcohols. And so I'm kind of interested in seeing the distillery world there. We don't golf in my family, so there's none of that there, but the history and you know, apparently I just really need to get rained on as well. But I think that really will be the next place that we end up.
Scotland, for the Presbyterian, local Presbyterian church, we call it the John Knox Experience, and it'll be visiting some of the islands, Edinburgh, Inverness, the islands of Scotland, and finishing up in Glasgow. So it's a beautiful country, somewhere I know very, very well from growing up not too far away from there. And they even tolerate an Englishman like me on occasion. So, yeah, it'll be a good trip if you can make it happen. Mm-hmm.
So, so does anybody have a favorite trip that they want to talk about? Like the best trip that you've ever had?
Oh my goodness, that sort of question is that? Wow,
Lindsay,
my husband and I a few years ago did a huge, big trip. He was living overseas in Iraq for work, and we got to meet in Rome and spent a month in Rome and Naples and Capri, and we did a 15-night cruise, and we went to Turkey, we went to Kushadasi in Istanbul, we went to Athens, Greece, we went to Egypt, we did overnight Cairo and Port Said and Port Alexandria, and that was probably the most amazing experience so far in my life I've had with traveling. He called it, however, the ruined tour of the world. So we went to Ephesus, we went to Pompeii, we went to pretty much every tragedy in that general area you can think of. We did. But it was so wonderful and so amazing. And I hate to use the word once in a lifetime. I hate to use that phrase once in a lifetime, because I really hope for me it's not going to be just once in a lifetime.
That's an extraordinary opportunity, though, to really be able to just take a month and just go. I mean, what a great opportunity.
Yeah. That's nice. For me, it would be Yosemite, I think. I mean, I love going to Disney World, and I go all the time, but Yosemite is one of those places that just really relaxes you. I mean, everywhere you turn, it's this majestic beauty and, you know, the wildlife. And, we did two family reunions there, so kids running around camping, and just the whole experience was just so phenomenal that I love that. But, you know, we want to hit some more national parks. We want to do Yellowstone. We want to take the kids to the Grand Canyon instead of just seeing it in an airplane flying over, you know. So we're going to hit them all. And it might take some time, but Yosemite we've done twice now. I can go back.
See, you kind of lost me there, because I really love not camping. That's there really isn't.
It's not camping, it's glamping, because we're in a, you know, kind of a little tent cabin kind of thing. That were the same ones that were there back in the turn of the 1900s. Same type of cabins. It's pretty cool. Yeah. And there's supposedly there's bears there, but I have yet to see a bear when we go. So.
Maybe if you go real.
That's sort of like my all the times I've been to Florida and I've yet to see an alligator in the wild ever. I just don't even believe they actually have alligators in Florida, because unless
they're all in South Carolina.
Yeah. I actually have seen an alligator in South Carolina, although it was dead. So it had already been killed. So yeah,
you killed it.
Yeah, somebody had already shot it. So yeah,
I was like Steve Irwin here. Wrestle it.
Okay, well, I think that that pretty much wraps up our show for this week. On behalf of myself and Amy, Lindsay, Andy, and Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly.